Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, a jam-packed show. We talk a lot of Paul Walker and Walker cars going to auction and some lightweight BMW E36 M3s. Yeah. Very interesting piece.
And the Bullet Mustang going to auction.
Bullet Mustang. Predictions on the Bullet Mustang. Hot fob talk as well. First, betonline.ag, NFL Weekly Pick'em Charity Contest is upon us. December's here. That's every NFL game has playoff implications. Now, visit betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups, week 14, we got Dallas at Chicago, Baltimore at Buffalo. That, you don't know about football, son, but that's going to be a good game. San Fran at New Orleans, that's going to be a heck of a game. KC at New England's going to be strong. Seattle Rams, a bunch of good games out there. We've got $500 in rewards to give out each week to five listeners in a $5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation, Twitter with hashtag SportsNetChallenge. My pick this week, I'll take the Packers at home against the Washington Redskins. 35-14 is my prediction. Use the promo code PODCAST1. Receive a 50% sign-up bonus today at betonline.ag. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. Big on a mandate. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. Man, Crowell. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Thanks for listening. Now, our next stop is going to be Jay Leno's garage.
Yeah.
We're excited to go over there and watch Shelby.
Yeah.
As we always do. We finish the movie and then we go to Leno's garage.
You're bringing him dinner?
I'm bringing him Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. He loves Chick-fil-A. I don't know why. Did you... How did it happen?
You weren't with me.
And we were in Sonoma, and he wanted to, on the way back to his plane, he's
right.
Like, we should
but
stop.
Were you in the car on that ride?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, we were in Sonoma, and we're leaving the racetrack, and we're going to the private airport. It was like 4 in the afternoon, and the driver was just driving us to the private airport, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's where Leno's feet took Chris's chair.
His snacks took my chair.
Snacks and feet.
And
Leno was like, he says to the driver, is Chick-fil-A anywhere around here? And the guy just drives like, no, there isn't. And he's like, oh, okay.
Like, he's a little disappointed.
And I knew. Now, I know everyone thinks I'm super thoughtful, but what they don't know is that I'm super duper thoughtful. That's where you guys get it wrong. And I was like, Jay loves Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Because he could have said anything.
That's right.
But he said Chick-fil-A. And that stuck in my head. And so when we were going to come over to watch Shelby after we tape this, I said, do you want me to bring some Chick-fil-A? And he's like, yeah, about 4 or 5 guys here. So,
yeah.
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 Now,
but
what
you
would
offered
be-
up Chick-fil-A. So yeah. He was going to say yes to that. I don't even know where Chick-fil-A is.
He's got like 5 guys.
Yeah.
They're here. What would you do if I gave Jay the Chick-fil-A and we went to his kitchen? We'll go into his kitchen at his shop. And Bernard was there and his guys are there. And we start handing out the burgers. And he was like, that's the coolest over there. Some stuff, some soda over there. Whatever. What would you do if I said to Jay, hey, Jay, it's $26?
Yeah, give him the receipt.
I mean, I kind of rounded down.
Just slide in the receipt and just say, just go ahead and take care of that whenever you're ready. If you do that, make sure I'm rolling a camera when you do.
And take back any uneaten sandwiches. Take them home with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm taking the uneaten. So I guess when Jay says Chick-fil-A, you just give him the standard Chick-fil-A sandwich, right?
Yeah.
And oh, these guys didn't make an order?
The checker fries. No, I said Chick-fil-A, and I said, how many guys you got? And he said, four or five guys. So we'll go five guys, Chick-fil-A, standard. We gotta go standard.
Is there like a Chick-fil-A like thing? You know, like when you get tacos or pizza, you get one vegetarian and three pepperoni.
No.
Is there like a fried versus grilled thing? Like fried's bad, grilled's good?
I think they have a bunch of options. I think when Mr. Leno says Chick-fil-A, you go standard Chick-fil-A times five. I don't think you muss around with. I got the one grilled one. It's not breaded. I don't think his guys. And by the way, I know his guys. His guys do what he does. So it's like, my guys do the opposite of everything I do.
Yeah.
His guys. I know. And listen, it's there's six, seven dudes there. They're all middle-aged plus ranchers. No one cracks a beer.
Right.
We're hanging out, watching a movie. We do. But they don't.
Yeah, we got to bring our own.
What's their excuse? Yeah, we got to BY our own B, man.
Yeah.
So.
Because Jay doesn't drink.
And now, and yes, Jay doesn't drink like Dane Cook doesn't drink. They just don't drink. They're like Dennis Prager doesn't drink. Like, it's like, they don't really like the feeling or the taste or.
Yeah, it just doesn't interest him. It has nothing to do with anything other than interest
him. I saw my dad crawl up and drink himself into a bottle. No, it's just I don't drink.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And his guy, I mean, I know, because I've flown from Atlantic City to Van Nuys with that guy on a private jet. There ain't no drinking going on.
No.
Now, his crew was on there. Like, they don't drink either.
Actually, I don't know if there's booze on the plane at all. I think when we flew from Sonoma, there wasn't even a beer on the plane.
No, I had to bring my own travelers.
Little pocket beer.
So I was talking on ACS a couple days back about the Bullet Mustang. You and I were talking about that.
Yes.
No reserve.
Does Meekum.
And I know you and Goldberg were talking about that.
Yeah.
Now, that car, it seems like the standard number that people would say for the last 3 or 4 years is that car's worth $4 million. I don't know where they got $4 million.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from.
But it's $4 million. But that thing's a beater. I mean, it has rust on the bumpers. I mean, that trunk looks like it was, stored outside. I know everyone's going to talk about the King of Cool and how cool it is and whatever. Here's, I think, the difference between me. It's called the Hero Car. It's the one they use. All right. Here's my take. I love the story.
Mm-hmm.
But if the story is about a piece of shit, I'm not that interested in it. You know, I'm not interested in, the pubes in Madonna's tub.
Right.
You know what I mean? But these are Madonna's. I'm like, yeah, but they're pubes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This car's a pube. I mean, it's a stupid Mustang with a stupid something. But, it's cool story. It's not Herbie the Love Bug. Like, it's got some grunt and some muscle and some this and some that. And it'd be a great conversation piece. And I think if you spent $5.5 million for it, you'd be happy 10 years from now.
Yeah.
But it's still a piece of junk.
I think the guy that owns this car did everything right. Obviously, the story means more to some people than it will to others. But first of all, it was his dad's car. Unfortunately, the guy passed away. He inherited the car, got the car for free. Second thing is he didn't restore it because whatever it sells for, it's not going to make a difference whether it's restored or not. It's $4 million, right? What is it going to be, $4 million, $4.1 million?
And no, I think the restoration would hurt it.
Right. So what I'm saying is unrestored means he didn't put any money into it. And he's been marketing it with Ford for years with the new Bullet Mustang. He's probably getting paid for that. So he's earning money off the car.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who buys this, their choice if they want to restore it or do whatever they want. But it didn't cost this guy any money to do anything with this thing other than insure it. And the only gauge for valuation at this point is, I believe there was an article when he said, I don't know what the car is worth, but I have it insured for some crazy number, like 8 million. And he said, that's just because that's the most amount I could possibly afford. I think he partnered with Hagerty or something to do it. And he's like, it's just insured on what I could pay for.
Mm.
And that's it. So we have no idea. Would you be surprised if it sells for 4 million? Would you be surprised if it sells for 12 million?
I don't have this car. Well, Bullet, Mustang, the good news is this car's been out of sight for years.
Yeah.
And I think that builds to the lore and the story
really
of it.
It really did.
It really got a lot of dumb people excited. I was like, Bullet Mustang's missing. I'm like, good. Let's see if we can get some other Mustangs to go into hiding.
Look, shot in the dark with no real bearing at all. Goldberg has it at 10 million.
I feel like...
And he's not even like a huge auction guy, but he gets the story. He understands what it is and for sure. And he's like, it's, I don't know, 10 million.
I feel like that's too much.
I think it's a little high.
I see it as more than 4 and less than 10 and somewhere around... I mean, trying to compare it to other popular cars or whatever cars. I'd have it at like 5 or 6, 7. I'll go 5.7.
Yeah, I think it could do a little better than that. I had 6 in my head. I had 8 on the high end, 6 to 8. That's too big of a range, but I feel like it's a 6 range. Also, I think whoever's like in the room, they're gonna want like an exciting hammer price, so it's probably gonna round out at something like a big 6 or a or. Mm-hmm. You know, or a 7, it's not going to be 6.9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone wants to push it to that number. But also, like, who do you think buys this? Do you think a fan and a collector buys it? Or do you think a museum buys it?
Mm. I don't know. But I'll be watching when that thing goes off. That's Mecum, right?
Yeah. In January.
Then you got the Superformance GT40, Ken Miles car.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the movie car. That's the
movie car.
The hero car in the Ford v Ferrari movie.
Yeah, I think there were two hero cars, and that's one of them. I'll be very curious what that thing goes for.
I like that piece. I like that idea.
I like that piece, too.
I'm not like much of a tribute or a clone car kind of guy, but I think the movie was good, and I think it's kind of special, and it's not going to go for huge money, I don't think, and I think down the road it's going to do well. Arguably, this Bullet Mustang would be a good example.
There's the Paul Walker cars, the lightweight M3s. Does he have 3 of the? I thought there were 3.
I think he has 2. I think he has 5.
Not of the lightweights.
Yes,
but five of the lightweights.
He has like a 91 and a 95 and a couple of others. I think there was 5.
Wait, hold the phone. I don't think they made a 91 lightweight.
Yeah, you have to check the Barrett Jackson website. But I cruised through an article that said there was 5 of them, and then
E36.
Yeah, and then yeah.
I don't think they did 91. What'd they do? Max Padlock.
Oh, I'm also just seeing that right now. Okay. I'm reading it. There's five,
but we know what years they are. Maybe it's on the Barrett Jackson website. Was there an E30 lightweight?
I'm seeing
no.
They're all 95.
They're all 95.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Come on, Matt. You lost your fastball.
I'm telling you, is he selling another BMW?
He has an
E30. That's
yeah, he has an M3
yeah.
E30 that I think he's selling.
Okay.
They didn't do a lightweight in those cars. They just did a coupe. Look at you. You're way off.
Okay, but he is selling a 91.
Yeah, but still. And I know it's an M3, but come on. Dude, it's an E30, not an E36.
That's why I just asked you if there's
you're
an
way
E30.
Way off.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned way about off. It.
So,
he was super proud of these cars. When I spoke to him like a couple of months before he died, we did that track day at Willow Springs. And on the list of cars, he has his 2006 Toyota Tundra or something. I think that's what he showed up at the track with.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was talking about his lightweights. And he loved these things.
Well, I will say, and you can look up at Hammer Price or something and see what these things go for. Because I don't have a real... I imagine these things are in the... 85 to 115, 120 yeah. range. That's a guess. I have not really seen too many sold. They didn't make a lot of them. I went and looked at ones at a dealer. I went and looked at it at like a dealer in like 97 or something. And I was like, God, it's a lot of money for a car that's just, it's got the same 240 horsepower inline yeah. six. It's minus the radio. It's got like cloth seats or something. Like, we've shaved 161 pounds out of it. Yeah, it's like, yeah, but we still don't have 250 horse. Like, here's my thing. I want it coming and going. Go ahead and shave a bunch of weight off it, and then go ahead and tweak the motor and get me to 300 horsepower. And now we're talking something cool. The E30 M3 Coupe had an Evo edition that was cool. I don't think it was a lighter weight. They just got a little more horsepower out of the engine. Stroked it and whatever. Anyway, I looked at these cars and I thought they were cool pieces. Like, to me, I like a European car and I like the kind of finesse cars, a lighter weight car with a little less grunt, but still scooted around the track. And this to me was like, I understood why he's bragging about it now, because like, if you are into a lightweight BMW E36 M3, and to the extent that you have four of them, it's like when you see, like, you're at an Italian restaurant, everyone's ordering spaghetti and meatballs, and then one guy goes, Asabuco. And you go, ooh, that guy knows. That guy knows this place. Or he knows Italian food or something. He knows. Like, or when you, I would say this about, I used to say it back in the day, but you see the guy in the Audi 8 series sedan versus the BMW 7 or the Mercedes run. That guy knows cars. Like, that's a cool piece. Like, this suggests you know cars. Like, this is a finesse car. It's not just, it's Cacuda with a Hemi. Like, it's a finesse car that most people don't know about, wouldn't really care about, don't really get it.
And I think for Paul Walker, it was something that caught his attention and he started to see it as collectible. And his other cars he bought for fun and things that he liked, and you can see that in his collection. But these, I think he had one and drove it and liked it, and then he saw the collectability of it. My question for you, though, is this, and is if it's a $100,000 car, are you going to move five at 100 grand each, or do you think that there's five on one docket is going to bring the price down a little bit, make them all, you know, 91,000?
I don't know. You got to put a date on the bring a trailer, Maxipad, or this year or whatever.
July.
So July, one sold for 66K on bring a trailer, which...
Yeah, cool looking car.
Feels a little light. It feels a little light.
I thought they were knocking on the door of 100,000.
And this thing could have some miles on it, but they're most always low mileage cars. But sometimes people get these cars and they tweak them a little bit and they lose a little of the value because they did the intake and the thing back, then whatever, they bolted a bunch of junk on or they did something to them. I don't know what the description of the bring a trailer one. You can look it up. Yeah, 67,000 miles, which is kind of high mileage for that kind of car.
Yeah, and it is different because Paul Walker's got five of these. He probably has one with 11 miles on it or something.
He has four. he's got four of the lightweights, but... Walker's stuff, especially if he got it anywhere close to new, I guarantee has little to no miles. Yeah. Almost 70,000 miles. It's like somebody used that car.
Yeah.
And thus the 66 number. I would say if you had one of those with 4,000 miles on it and it was totally pristine, that is 100 grand. But you're right. Do all four of them get 100 grand?
I don't know.
Are they no reserve?
There are no reserve, correct. But Gooding 2017 Amelia Island, one sold for $145,750.
Well, that's
that must
special.
Have been with 400 miles on it or something weird. All right, let me hit Zorro. You can figure that out, Max Ben. Also, we have a picture of Jay Leno eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I want you to study that picture. I want you to learn that sandwich.
Kalen has analyzed it. He knows what exactly.
I know
make
what
sure you get the right sandwich.
It. Do we see a sliver of tomato on there? That's a different sandwich.
We're about to find out.
All right, Zorro.com, Zorro.com. Find everything for business of any size and almost any industry. Tools and equipment, safety office and cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. Brands you know and trust, Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider Electric, Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. Fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. We use them here. You should use them there. Whatever your business is, big or small, or just household stuff. You just need, you want some tools. You want some, they have like Rubbermaid and stuff like that, trash cans or whatever, supplies. They have all the supplies you'd use around your house as well. Just visit Zorro.com/Adam. Sign up for the Z-mail. Get 15% off your first order. That's Zorro.com/. Oh, is it slash Carcast here? Yeah.
Yes.
Zorro.com/Carcast to get your 15% off. All right.
So this lightweight that sold for $145, it's one of 126 examples built, three owners, and low mileage examples supported by Carfax Vehicle History Report.
What? Still, that's not 400 miles.
No.
How do you get from 140-something to 66?
Gooding had a good day. Good auction there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, or somebody had a bad day on Bring a Trailer. I'm not sure.
You
and
know,
three owners.
You don't... Yeah, that's not what I was talking about, which buy it, push it home, put it on blocks, yeah, and put a cover over it. And that three owners is three owners.
Yeah. We're going to have to dig into the Paul Walker cars because if I recall correctly, it's been many years now, I think he told me he had one that he did drive a little bit,
mm-hmm,
but then he got another one with, you know, negligible miles, you know,
right,
whatever, just 500 or 50 or whatever. He's like, that's collectible.
Well, you know, the guy who sold his for 66 on Bring a Trailer would have been aware of the Amelia Island one probably and would have had some reserve or something ostensibly. So there's something we don't
but it
know.
Said it sold.
Haggerty says the number one condition concourse value for an M3 base model has increased 21% over the past 5 years to $44,000. Without a celebrity owner like Walker, an M3 lightweight in number one condition would likely sell in the neighborhood of $132,000. So expect the Fast and Furious connection to bring more of each example.
So with Paul Walker's name, it's about $130,000?
That's... Without.
Yeah.
And then the record price was the $145 that I mentioned
okay
earlier.
Yeah. All right. So a number one condition one is about $130,000.
Yeah, but they're saying a number one condition
without
is Gooding because that's the hammer price plus the VIG.
Right. Without Paul Walker's name on
yeah
it. So now we got to figure it out. I mean, we got Steve McQueen. Like, when's Paul Walker's legend going to start growing, you know? If at all, but I'm sure it will. Like, so these are all interesting stories that are coming up. Let's see. So we had the Bullet Mustang. I am all over the road.
Yeah. You're getting a new car.
Yes. I'm getting an Infiniti.
SUV, the G...
80?
Oh, wait, QX? QX80?
QX80, yeah.
The big SUV. And I know you wanted an SUV, so this is a deal with Infiniti. You can drive this thing for a year.
Yeah, and I'm getting old, and I can't take the potholes anymore, in L.A. And I found myself, I guess the kids getting older and stuff like that, and Italian or friends want to go to the Malibu or whatever.
Yeah, this is big. It's three-row. You can fold it down. You can put...
I just went and shot a stand-up special in San Diego. It's like Sonny came. Lynch was with us. August, we picked mm-hmm, up. Mm-hmm. Like, we're bringing wardrobe and stuff. Like, I really could have used something with a little heft to it.
Right.
And so it's time. But it's a lot of it is based on I moved into a house with a steep driveway and my air dam rubs when I leave every morning.
Right. Well, and I know you've had some frustrating issues with the slow infotainment system in the Jag. As much as I like that car, it's a beautiful car. They've been trying to improve that system. Like, the new F-Type has the latest system in it. And but Infiniti, oddly, Infiniti and Nissan has been very slow on getting the latest technology. And now the 2020 models are the first with Apple CarPlay and Android support. And this is going to have CarPlay. And if you haven't used it much, you get in your phone, you mount it up on your dash, you plug it in to charge it, and you use Bluetooth. Well, right. If you're going to plug it in to charge it, you plug it in, and it connects to – you got to plug it in to connect to right. your CarPlay. And there'll be like a button on the steering wheel that is Siri. You just press and hold the button and be like, call Mike August.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just – it works.
I can't wait.
The one thing that I've tried since talking to you about this many, many times over the last year is – on almost every press car that has CarPlay, I've tried to get on the phone, walk to the car, get in, plug the phone in, and have it switch seamlessly to CarPlay. Mm-hmm. And do you know the difference? And maybe, whatever, it connects for a second or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And so far, they've all been pretty good. Most of these cars are so sophisticated with the electronics. I've been even in the newest thing out there, and it's still been like, oh, the infotainment system crashed and I had to like reboot it or something or unplug my phone and plug it back in. But for the most part, they've been working pretty good.
The way the JAG works is if you are listening to a podcast and you walk into the garage, I do a fair bit of garage work. I patched Sonny's bike tire the other day. I putz around the garage a mm-hmm. little. I can't go into the garage with a podcast on because it'll jump to the car.
Even the car's off
and locked.
Yeah. Well, don't use
that's
Bluetooth.
Awesome. So that's an awesome thing. So then what you got to do is you got to get the car out. Like you got to park it down the driveway. Otherwise, it'll connect to the car and you won't be able to listen to your yeah. or not listen to a podcast when you're working in your garage.
Well, I'd say on the Infiniti, don't even set up Bluetooth. Don't connect it to Bluetooth. Just when you get in it and use it, plug it in. Throw it in a cup holder or whatever and just use the CarPlay feature
yes.
and see if that improves things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it's going to be exciting.
Oh, it has Waze too, which is the other thing too, which is the Waze with the Bluetooth, if you're listening to a podcast while driving the car
yeah.
and you have Waze on, it does this funky thing where it just comes through the speaker of the phone. It won't come
yeah,
through the speakers
weird.
In the car. Like it, the whole thing is like super frustrating. Like you want it to stop doing this and start doing that. Like it won't yeah. do it. Like again, I don't know. You can't. And then if you're like the other thing, here's the other thing it'll do. I do radio interviews, right?
Yes.
And I do tons of radio interviews. And so I got like my earbud in and I got my phone on me and I'm just talking to Mac and Gatos in Phoenix, you know, and I'm like I'm walking around the shop, like trying to do stuff, you know, cause I don't want to just sit on a chair.
Yeah.
I'm at my shop, like I walk around. And a lot of what I like to do when I'm doing radio interviews is the same thing I like to do when I pull into a gas station. It's like, all right, I'm going to fill up the car and I'm going to clean the trash out of the car and squeegee the windshield off or whatever.
Sure.
If I'm doing a radio interview, I can't go near my car. I can't go get something out of my car because if I go get, I got my car's full of plans or notes or jokes or something. I can't walk to the car and get something out of the back seat because it'll jump to the car.
Yeah.
And then they'll be doing the interview through the car speakers.
Yeah, that's no. You won't have to do that anymore.
But what year is it? Why is,
does the Jag even have CarPlay? I don't even know.
No,
has anybody ever tried plugging it in to just CarPlay to see if it works?
It doesn't have Apple CarPlay.
I don't think it does.
No, it has its own system.
Yeah. It has its own system that frequently disconnects from my phone. Like I have to constantly like reboot
yeah.
the connection.
As a guy who's on the other end of that line a lot of times,
all the time. Yeah, no, I get it. Like I don't think there's anything out there yet that's flawless.
What's worse is literally not being able to work in your garage with your car and listen to a podcast through an earbud because it jumps to the car, or Lynette's Tesla starting up and driving away with the key fob outside the car, or is it Gabe putting it on the tire and Lynette telling me it's in the cup holder? Like what?
I think the Bluetooth thing is more annoying because it happens every day, three times a day.
Right. Okay. But the key fob, you know, that was me blocking my car in with the car that couldn't be driven.
Yes, and that was a life-changing moment. But also every time you're trying to talk to somebody on the phone, that affects you and the person on the other end.
Oh, you're right. Collateral damage.
Yeah, taking somebody out. Well,
that's right.
This should be interesting. It should be fun to try it. And also, by the way, the Infiniti, we saw it at Monterey, the white one we filmed with, and it's good.
It's beautiful. Good. I was looking at a Genesis commercial last night. Mm-hmm. I almost piped up because I'm apt to do that, but I stifled myself. But there was that new Genesis flagship, like going through the snow.
Oh yeah,
with the big diamond quilted diamond stitching everywhere. The new mark of luxury. Diamond stitching.
Yeah, you can get it on anything.
So on to that 10 years ago, I kept saying, where's the diamond stitching? Well, all right, I got to tell you, do your spot, and then I'm going to complain about something.
It's about Geico. By the way, Infiniti called and said you need to get some insurance on that thing. So Everybody's got a to-do list. Maybe you're dropping off some dry cleaning or picking up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com. It's not a bad idea.
Bad news for you, bucko.
Yeah?
Seth MacFarlane's Christmas party.
Yeah.
Normally, Matt's my date.
Yeah. When are we going?
Yeah. Well, it's the 14th
of
December.
I'll cancel whatever I have.
I shall be at in Oxnard doing two shows.
Enjoy it.
It's cheating on you with me, Matt.
Enjoy that show.
So that's tough love. The only thing I don't like about, like, I love the holidays and I love automobiles, but the commercials, they're starting to run me into the ground. These chicks so pumped about getting a Denali pickup truck. You know what I mean? Like the chick just over this reaction of every.
Yeah.
First off, there's the chick who got the Peloton bike who's like over the moon about her husband buying her a $900 exocycle. But then there's the chick, like they get the cars, they're like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's like, I pulled up in a brand new Jag. A couple of years ago, it was in the garage, and I said, family, I got a new Jag. You want to check it out? And they all went, No.
We'll see it when we have to get it.
We're good.
Great.
And then the wife is totally stoked about the car, and it's got the big ribbon on it, and it's snowing outside. And I like the one from a few years ago. It was a GMC truck one, and he got him the black one and her the red one. But
I like the red, or whatever. Or the black one, and he's like, I'll drive red.
Yeah, what I get is the key fob on the tire, and then when I ask where the extra key fob is, the proclamation comes down that probably stolen by valet.
Probably. That's what they do.
That's all those guys trying to sell you key fobs when you go to Tijuana?
So annoying.
Yeah, it's so
open
annoying.
Up the
so
trench coat. They're all hanging there in the trench coat.
The little chick, the little
key
gal.
Key fobs on one side, watches on the other.
One gal, little gal selling chiclets with the dude selling the key fobs. And they stole from the fancy sushi restaurant.
Yeah.
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 I don't know how you get home if the guy steals the key fob.
I don't know. He fires up the car. He brings it to you. It's running. He walks away with the key fob.
Oh, that's
and
how you get.
You drive off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't beep. It doesn't be like, beep, beep, beep. Where's the key?
Well,
key
I got to tell you,
my mom's 2008 Nissan Altima, that car has a conniption when you drive away with the key. Like if it's running and the key's not near it, alarms and shit start going off in the car. Where's the key?
I walked out, got into the Tesla X, put the kids in, had the key on the tire, put it in drive, rolled probably a half a turn, probably exactly half a wheel turn, crushed the key fob.
Nice.
Turned out of my driveway, drove about a mile and a quarter, 2 miles, mile and a half to the school, stopped in front of the school, let both kids off. Thank God I didn't put it in park or something, or shut it off or something. Probably just stopped there and told the kids to jump out. Probably didn't muss with the controls or anything. Mm-hmm. And then went back down the street another quarter mile away. I was at this point 2 miles from my house, turned around, drove back, pulled up the driveway, being careful to block my own car in the garage, because that's important when you have a car with no backup key and no key fob, and then parked it, and then got out, and then started working on the drain for the drainage problem that was going on by the house. And Rob came walking up with a handful of key fob, and he's like, somebody's key fob got mashed. I was like, I feel sorry for that person. Mine's in the car somewhere, because I just drove away and came back. He's like, looks like it was run over. And I was like, where was that key? Wait a minute. And then I went and desperately checked the car. Of course, it's filled with garbage and fast food and stuff, because it's a $100,000 car. And then I go look through all the cup holders and everything. It's like, there is no key fob. And then I dash into the house and I find the leather satchel that the key fob would have been in if I had an extra key. If the valet had not stolen the key fob, he'd left the leather satchel behind. And then I was out of fob at that point.
At what point did the car tell you you're driving away without a key fob?
In my world, nothing.
Nothing.
Now, it would be interesting, and you can make me a note, Max Pat. I'll go down at my leisure at some point, go get the key fob, start the car, and throw the key fob out the window in the garage and see if I can go down, see what the dash does. But I had no recollection of any audible. If I was hearing a chime or gong or bong, I would have, like, hey, kids, put this seatbelt on. It's driving me nuts.
Kids get in the car. You don't drive it that often. Who knows? But
I didn't hear anything, and I didn't see anything. That much I know. Yes. So now, and I know nothing about Tesla. Lynette's in New York, so now I'm tasked with figuring out how can we get a new key fob.
What do you think a Tesla key fob costs?
I will tell all you poor people something right now. At this point, that is the least of my worries in this particular case. I have 7 podcasts to do. I have a car that's trapped inside my garage that is operable.
And the one outside is a brick.
The other one's a brick that's blocking it in there. And I have a full schedule and a full day. And I got up early to drive the kids to school. So whether it's $371 or $622, this is a first world problem. That is not my issue. My issue is I need a fob and I need to move my car. Now, thankfully, I'm me. And I was able to do about a 122-point maneuver to get my car, while hanging the tires into the flower bed and shit, out of the garage.
Yeah.
Like, I literally had an inch on it. I was able to back my car, but I had to do like 2,600 moves to finally get my car out of the garage. So once I got my car out, then it just became...
And if it was the shop, we could have put some rollers under the Tesla.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. The Tesla's all-wheel drive, right? Mm-hmm. The Model X is all-wheel drive.
Mm.
Do some of the motors always stay in neutral? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just put a jack behind the rear, jacked it up, could you drag the front, I wonder? Or could you drag the rear, or everything's
I'm
locked?
I'm now curious about this experiment. Max Potter probably figured it out online. Or maybe they've corrected it, but this thing's like 2 years old. Now, I don't know. What would you guys rather do? I think I have the answer. In the key fob department, experience what I just experienced. Now keep in mind, many discussions at the Corolla house about how important the extra key or key fob by the front door in case these kind of things come up. Or the time with the Audi when Lynette had popped her tire and she had the weird orange Space Saver thing on and I went and got a new tire from like Tire Rack and told Rob to go take it to the guy at Union Tire and like mount it and balance it and brought it, whatever. And then I said, Friday, bring the tire, come up to the house and we'll put the new tire on the car. Car parked in the driveway, locked. Went and looked for the key fob. Lynette's in Santa Barbara going to a retreat or something. Called her. Had both key fobs on her. Could not get into the car to change the tire.
Yeah.
I think that one's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
They're both fabulous.
Right. The Tesla owners that are listening, if you park illegally, how do they tow a Tesla? How do they, you know, can you mechanically put Tesla in?
Can they flatbed it, you mean?
Yeah, but if four wheels are locked with electric motors, what do they, you know, also, is there a way to mechanically put the thing in neutral and could you push it out of the way?
There must be some version of that. But you know, yeah, with no fob nearby, like how would one
if the door's open and you can get in the door, right? Because the fob's not away, but the doors aren't locked. Can you get in? Can you put it in neutral? I haven't been in a Tesla in forever, so I don't even know what the electronics or the mechanics are of it. But
well, the part that really, the coup de grace, the coup de fa, was when I showed up to talk to Max Zapata about his rolling hamper that he calls a car over here. And I pulled up and I said, you do me a favor, son. You take that key to that old piece of shit Prius you got and put it on the tire and see if you can start that car. And he's like, you cannot.
And I was you did it.
And the phone system works great too.
Oh, you are the bane of my existence.
I'm mad. I'm seeing that Teslas only lock the rear wheels with a parking brake.
Oh, well, there you go. So you can jack up the rear and drag the front around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if you need to tow one.
Yeah, or if someone's going to tow one. If somebody blocking your garage.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't even there yet, but I got there. And what about, what goes off, what have you read online in any forum or anything about driving that car with the fob, like, back at the house? Or maybe it's the fact that mine was destroyed. Maybe that makes a difference. Like, it didn't exist. Like,
yeah,
my fob wasn't left behind. It was crushed.
Is that the thieves of failsafe is like, grab a fob, smash it, and it turns the car on, and you can drive it one time?
No, it's take the fob, go to Mexico, start a new life, and then come on. All right, you can figure it out, Max Power. See what you can read. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetic oils. It is Castrol Edge.
Well, one more comment on this Seth MacFarlane thing. How far is Oxnard from here?
Yeah, I'd given that some thought. Like, maybe I can hightail it,
that's
whatever.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I'm doing two shows. I'm doing an 8 o'clock.
Well, you want a cocktail after.
7:30. And see, it's rough. Like, I mean, could literally get out of there, do a 7:30 and like a 10 o'clock show.
Yeah.
I have trouble getting out of there before midnight after you sign everything or do
that
all
is
that.
A little tough.
Maybe if you got out at 11:30, you could be from there to McFarland. You'd be pulling up at 12:30.
Yeah, people are leaving. You're just showing up for the after party.
Yeah, but you're right. There's something to be said for that after party.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that for
and
sure.
And for a change, you'd be semi-sober walking into the after party.
Yeah. You'll miss the band.
All right, let's weigh it. Yeah. We'll figure
it's worth checking.
It's worth checking because the after party's the fun party.
Which Chris is already shaking his head.
Mm.
I don't think you should have jumped right to that conclusion, Chris.
That after party, man, they're down in the basement bar drinking laudanum.
Can you tell everybody to show up early and do the signing before the show?
There's been occasion when I've told people I have to make a flight or I have to make a whatever, or I have to film something or do something where I just go in advance. I can't sign after the late show.
Yeah. Well, you got a few days to think about it.
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
I'll go out there at 10 o'clock. I'll get like 12 minutes into my act. I'll go, all right, so what's going on? What else is going on out there? I guess not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's bring it home.
Yeah, it's done.
Max Bata, any forums on that? Any FOB forums?
Not a ton.
Huh. You would think this would be, I don't know, kind of a
somebody,
thing.
One person did drive off with his with the key just kind of nearby as well, and he said there were no beeps or nothing.
Right.
So
what?
So
else, like,
look,
very rare case.
I certainly, it's an elite fraternity we're in, like Army Rangers who can actually drive off without the fob. Now, to be fair to this hardworking comedian husband, there was no contact or information from Lynette or Gabe. But I did reach out. I did say, where is the fob?
I mean, and out of town, out of mind, it's your problem.
I got a little erroneous information on it. I've always argued that Gabe was just a text away from, you know, avoiding this. But we don't hold grudges.
Yeah.
So I was told it was in the car. So, of course, when I got in and drove off, I was like, it's in the cup holder somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's five cup holders in this car. Like, I'm not going to I'm not gonna bother looking. I'm just driving. And the car said nothing. Did not.
Yeah, that's the part that throws me off because, like I said, mom's a whatever 11, 12-year-old Nissan Altima.
Yeah,
won't shut up and that thing doesn't have a key near it.
This guy had to have his wife drive out the key to him after he parked at his friend's house. So it was very embarrassing.
And like lost the fob or?
Yeah, well.
He drove it to
his friend's house without the key.
Oh, parked it. Right.
And he had to call his wife to bring the key over.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Where'd they get the extra key? Oh, right. It comes with the car. Yeah. That's right.
Well, he did leave the original key at home. But now everything's a phone. Now his phone is a key thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now it's problem solved, right?
Yep. All right.
You need a code for that, though. Good luck getting that.
We got to hit Chick-fil-A and get ready for Leno. Oxnard Levity Live. Don't come to the late show on Saturday. We're boarding that place up. That's Friday and Saturday coming up. Milwaukee Pabst Blue Ribbon, our Pabst Theater, January 24th, January 25th, Chicago. And I'll be doing a stand-up there, Park West. Crank Yankers on. Check that out on Comedy Central. Get that Shelby. I got the blue. We got the Blu-rays now. You know what are really selling? The posters. Everyone wants one of those Shelby posters.
Oh, yeah.
We'll bring Lena
one. We selling
one.
Those?
Yeah.
All right.
They're Chassis? Nice. Get that Blu-ray at Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. Shift and Steer, of course, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Thank you.
And support the show, carcastshow.com. And No Safe Spaces, nosafespaces.com. There's a lot of stuff out there. And check our docs out on Netflix. I think you'll like them and leave a review. Leave a nice thumbs up. So, until next time, I'm Carl from Matt. The moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.